And Michigan is victorious, gloriously. They defended the home turf at the Big House, 45-28, your final. We're talking all things maize and blue from yesterday's win. Jeff Childs, Josh Zinke, Tony O with you in studio. You can give us a call, 734-998-1050. You can send me a tweet on Twitter. That's at Jeff Childs, ITH. And we're continuing our discussion of Michigan's win to move them to 3-0 after yesterday's game. And guys, special teams is an often overlooked part of a football game. The attention and the glory always goes to the offense and the defense. But the Michigan special teams right now, in my opinion, is performing at a level heretofore unseen here in Ann Arbor through the first three games. I mean, as we said before the break, Michigan doesn't get this performance that they got from the special teams. That's a 14-point swing. They don't go on to win this game. And Jabril Pepper's a huge part of that. But special teams is such a team effort, such a collective phase of the game that it takes a lot of guys, a lot of moving parts to make it a reality. And for Michigan, yes, the field goals were an issue yesterday, only one of three on the game. That was not a bright spot. But The Michigan block plays, whether it's on the field goal, whether it is on a punt situation, those are really shining through. And we talked about this a little bit before the break. It's interesting that Michigan's getting this performance out of special teams coach Chris Partridge, whereas a year ago they bring in John Baxter. He's supposed to be the special teams guru, and now he's back at his old stomping grounds at USC, and the Trojans are, to be honest, they flat out suck. I'm going to be totally honest. And there's a lot more to USC. We won't get into that. But this has worked out for Michigan, and I think it's working out better than anyone had anticipated.
Yeah, especially in this game, it really helped to give us some momentum because they were the first score for Michigan, was coming off of that returned blocked punt. And then
big props, by the way, real quickly to Michael Jost, the walk-on tight end. Yeah. He's the guy that makes that block.
Yeah.
Perry scoops it up. But again, the team aspect of the special teams, and Michigan's really in sync in that phase of the game right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously it helped yesterday when their kicker kicked one into one of the linemen. That was an extremely low kick. But no, yeah, I mean, the special teams with respect to the not kicking part, at least, were great yesterday.
Okay, we're going to head to the phones and get your thoughts. First up is JJ in the Mean Streets. JJ, welcome to the playground.
My God, it's always a pleasure. Hey, I'm going to make a couple of quick observations once again. I've been going to the games since the mid-70s, and I've been watching Michigan play football since Bump Elliott was there. So I've seen the coaches come and go through the years and the teams go through the season. Once again, like we had when Bo and for the most part Lloyd and Gary were here, we have a well-coached team. Not a dearth of penalties, very few illegal procedures penalties. In fact, somebody told me that yesterday, they mentioned on the TV, it was the first offensive penalty. They had Kyle Kalis. It was late in the second half yesterday. That's a well-coached team. The team did not panic when they were down by two scores and Colomar was going again. They kept to their game plan, and the coaches made the in-game adjustments, something the previous two regimes didn't do at all or very well, depending on your point of view. So I just want to say coaching has a lot to do with it. And I want to say a couple more things. First of all, what a treat it was to have Bill McCartney back into town. And personally, he's been a great boon to my life. And I want to say something to a local coach who's back up in town for Florida. The great Belleville swim coach, Sam Vicky, is being honored today by the Michigan High School Coaches Association. He's put into their Hall of Fame. One of the greatest men I ever had the pleasure of meeting in my life. And that good stuff being said, you guys were just talking about USC. I remind you of one thing I learned very young, 40 years ago. The Trojans are nothing but a big put-on. Go Blue.
All right, JJ, thanks for the call. Entertaining as always, and congratulations to the coach you mentioned on his honor. But, yeah, I think that's another sometimes overlooked aspect to a team, and this could fit into our special teams discussion, but Michigan playing very sound, very technical football. They finished the game. They did have five penalties, 41 yards, but I think it was in the second quarter or so, Jay-Z, There was about three or four in the row, and Dan Dierdorf mentioned this on the broadcast, but offensively, whether it's movement, false starts, Michigan is really not committing any penalties right now, especially in the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, they're not, and that's one of those things that you can count as positive yards because they're really – this is not – we're not used to seeing that. And for them to get up and get off their blocks and being able not to do – you know, these penalties that sometimes we say holding happens on every play, no matter what. And for them to pretty much – they can't – they must be doing it not at all. For the you know for a ref to even think oh that must be a penalty you know and throw the flag so they're doing a great job with that and those things add to positive yards because you're not taking them back at all especially when the other team starts committing them.
Yeah, and Colorado, I think once we got into the second, third quarter, the Michigan defense kind of figured it out. But on the Colorado side, they did commit those errors, those mental mistakes, and they started moving backwards.
Right.
When you're on the road and you have a lead and you let it slip away, and then you know you add in the fact that you're beating Michigan in Michigan Stadium and you let that fall by the wayside, that's got to be a disappointing finish for the Buffs. We're talking Michigan's win. We're talking special teams. Jabril Peppers, what he did yesterday. What are your thoughts on his performance? And we've had a caller on the line for a while, so let's bring him on. Let's talk to Dan in Cincinnati. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the playground.
Hey, guys. Well, I'll tell you, it's a good thing the special teams have been showing up. The one thing I'm concerned about, and I don't know if it's the new defensive scheme and we're just bringing a lot of people or whatever, we're giving up way, way too many big plays. I don't know if it's the scheme or we're sending too many people or what it is, but we're getting a ball thrown over our heads way too much. We're giving up too many big yards. I mean, I thought this defense was going to be a heck of a lot stouter than it is. I realize there's some injuries, but I mean, after watching Ohio State last night, I mean, when's this guy going to retire or burn out? I mean, I'll tell you what, he has really got that thing rolling in Columbus. And hats off to Sparty. Say what you want to about D'Antonio. That guy's a hell of a football coach.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call, Dan. I mean, yeah, Michigan State and Ohio State, I didn't catch every second of those games, guys, but, man, they Ohio State especially, I mean, they got a big lead on Oklahoma in Norman and kept the boot on the throat. The Buckeyes look just like they're playing at another level right now, and Michigan State had a huge second quarter against Notre Dame. They were up, I think, 36-0 at one point, if I remember correctly, and 36-7, and then I believe Notre Dame had a big pushback in the third and fourth quarters, and they made it. They made the score a little bit closer, but Michigan State and Ohio State, Michigan's main competition, the cream of the crop in the Big Ten, they look for real.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, the talent on Ohio State just looks impressive, to say the least.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, I love this Michigan show we're having here. Great job, guys. yeah, what I want to say about Dan's other points is the big plays. There's some guy named Jordan Lewis we haven't seen yet, and I believe he's an All-American.
He is.
And I think those things help. And you can't – I mean, would things be changed up if we put Peppers from linebacker to farther back? Would that help maybe cut down on some of these bigger plays? I don't know if I could say they will. The good thing is that we're doing as best we can on the offensive side –
to mitigate those things.
Right, and so, yeah, you're going to give up those big plays. Yes, you hate seeing it. You'd rather have them kind of work their way down the field to give that up instead of one play. Yesterday was a 70-yard pass. It was three plays, 80 yards, 58 seconds, and you know they put themselves back in the lead. That can't happen. And I was saying during the commercial break to the guys that I kind of thought that is it because they're pressuring too much or are they willing to give up the underneath stuff for the big play not to happen, but then we're seeing it the other way, where we saw it last week, where they just had complete burners on the team, and they were just ran by everyone before anyone could think of what was about to happen. And then yesterday, the 70-yard pass, those things can't happen as we get into Big Ten season, because more likely, they're going to set that stuff up. They'll go with some underneath stuff, some screens to the sides, and then right when you start covering that better, they're going to go right down, you know, downtown Julie Brown and try to go for the end zone. And you can't give up those big plays, especially as the season goes on when you start playing foes that actually know this team inside and out.
Yeah, and you know, Jay-Z, you look at Colorado's drive chart, other than the three-play 80-yard drive, you know, the 58-second drive, they really only had one other drive, and it was their fourth possession of the game, 10 plays, 67 yards. So in terms of, you look at the drive charts, and Colorado really only had two drives where they just gathered a lot of chunk plays. But, you know, outside of that, outside of the first and second quarters, I think Michigan's defense started to lock down a little bit, started to limit that and limit those big plays. But you're going to give some of those plays up from time to time. And if Michigan can figure out the coverage on the slant routes, on the intermediate throws, and then force the deep plays, I mean, a team just naturally, law of averages, is going to connect more on those intermediate plays. And you limit those and cut down on those, and you force a team to throw deep. I think Michigan will, especially once you get Jordan Lewis back, you cut down on the intermediate routes. I think Michigan will figure that out, and then by virtue of that, prevent the long plays as well.
Yeah, I really hope we see Jordan Lewis come back soon, because I really want to see him in there. I would really like to get him some experience before we have like our rivalry games, and you know, see, because we haven't seen him yet this season. But I think he'll certainly help when he comes back in with some of those passing plays and the coverage. But one thing I was impressed with yesterday is how the line did a good job of containing the quarterback when the pocket was breaking down. I think Sefolufau only had, I think, 18 yards of gained rushing yesterday, and I thought that was a good positive, because that was something I was a little bit concerned about going into the game. I thought that with how much we rush and how we've sort of seen in the past where when the pocket breaks down, we've had sometimes a difficult time containing the quarterback if they've been mobile enough. And it
a lot of green grass in the middle. Right, you didn't see
exactly
that yesterday.
Yeah, and yesterday they did a pretty good job of containing that.
All right, let's head to the phones, and we'll talk to Joe in Ann Arbor. Joe, welcome to the playground.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good news is Michigan has arguably their three best defensive players not playing, Monet, Charlton, and Jordan Lewis. So I see the defense only improving and just getting a lot better, even though they're doing real well right now. I am baffled, gentlemen, on why Michigan cannot run the ball up the gut. We have offensive linemen that are experienced. We should be. Did you watch Michigan State run the ball at will yesterday against Notre Dame? They were blowing holes. They were zone blocking, one-on-one blocking, running the ball at will with inexperienced linemen. Well, not that inexperienced, but not as experienced as Michigan. And maybe you guys can talk about that, why we can't pound it up the middle.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. Yeah, Michigan, that is still an issue. That's an ongoing issue for the Maize and Blue. I mean, they finished the day net amounts here, 41 carries, only 168 yards. Michigan's best rusher on the day, Davion Smith, who had 11 carries, 87 yards, and a score. But, gentlemen, when you're averaging 4.1 yards a carry, that might have been an ideal number in the past, but no longer for a rushing attack. And this is still something Michigan's got to get handled.
Yeah, we have a tough time opening holes for the running backs, and it's been a work in progress for the past, you know, 3 years at least, and it's something we'd like to see clear up. Hopefully they'll improve. I mean, we saw improvement generally over the course of last year, which gives me some hope. But I mean, the other thing we saw yesterday, we saw three sacks. So I mean, overall, I think overall the offensive line could have played a bit better yesterday.
Yeah, very true. I mean, Davion Smith, he had the 42-yard catch and run in the third quarter.
Yeah, without that, he still would have 4.5 yards per carry in those 10 for 42 or 10 for 45 if you don't count the long touchdown that he ran. They're going to work on that. I mean, you saw Chesson run the ball around. He had a touchdown with the rushing game yesterday. Yesterday, we saw Peppers actually back there. You know, doing what he needs to do. Now, as far as opening holes to get that, I don't know if it's the biggest problem in the world right now, because yes, we want to have an equal ground game to passing game, and I think they'll get there eventually. Devion Smith doesn't need much of a hole. The Isaac touchdown, he really took his time and let stuff work in front of him before he was able, you know, to actually score the touchdown. If he would have went a little faster, he more likely would have been tackled. They would have had to do, you know, fourth down there. So I thought they did a good job. They just have to wait for the stuff to open up. Once they see the hole, they make sure they hit the hole and bounce off that. I don't think we're seeing that just yet.
No, Jay-Z, you're right. And I think, you know, the offensive line, yes, there are a lot of upperclassmen on this team, guys with a lot of experience, but I think they're sort of still figuring out how they want to be molded and shaped and how they want to work in terms of what's best suited for Tim Drevno's offense. I mean, Davion Smith, he's a bull rusher, a guy who likes to pound through the tackles. And for what Michigan wants to do, which is, yes, they want to have tight ends. Yes, they want to move the ball with a fullback. But I don't really think for the personnel that they have, they don't really have the type of rushing attack where they want to or need to go through the tackles. I want to see a lot of plays to the outside. We've seen Michigan utilize the jet sweep coming out of the backfield. Yep. So this is not a team, I think, with both style, scheme, and personnel that's really suited to run off tackle.
I mean, let's not also, you know, forget the fact that compared to last week's game against UCF, that Michigan significantly did a hell of a lot better on the ground, considering they were under 100 yards combined, you know, for everyone. So to see that they actually got, you know, a total net of over 100 yards is impressive to see, at least considering you're taking on a team from a Power 5 conference. Mind you, it may not be a big power, you know, a big team from the Pac-12, but it's still nice to see they're able to get their ground game back going, that you don't have to rely on Wilton Spate or John O'Korn if he had to come in like he did, you know, during the game yesterday, to rely on the air game, that you can finally get back on the ground. You know, maybe it will take next week's game against Penn State for them to finally, you know, find some holes in the middle to finally break it upfield.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is we got to give Colorado some credit. This is a team that only allowed an average of 95 yards rushing in their previous two games. So this wasn't a no one that they were going up against. These were some experienced players.
Right, and I think we're going to see that down the road. Stuff will happen out, and I know this whole week will probably be like the rushing game.
Gnashing of teeth.
And really, it's just good. You just have to do what everyone's telling you to do. Relax. It will happen. There's many games to go, and Colorado's a tough test, maybe even tougher than the next opponent with Penn State.
Yeah, well, yeah, the rushing game still has a long way to go. I don't think there's any way around that. Is there improvement from last week, from week to week? Yes, there is, but if Michigan was forced to rely on Wilton Spate in this game, there would have been some problems, because we talked about the special teams. I personally believe that without the special teams, without those 14 points, Michigan doesn't win this game. And they win by a margin of 17 points. They just miss out on covering the spread. Yeah, long way to go for the rushing attack. They did what they had to do. They weren't spectacular. I think you'd be hard-pressed to say they were even good in this game. But they relieved Wilton Spate in a way that he wasn't having his best game. And they did what they had to do on the ground. The special teams carried Michigan. So Michigan is finding ways to win in adversity, finding ways to win in tough situations. So we're going to get to a break. We'll talk to Mike on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.